All right, you guys are so quiet. Guess what's, you know what's weird about that fact? You're going to be like obnoxiously loud in like 4 hours or wherever it is till when the, huh? Like you'll be throwing pillows, you'll be screaming, there'll be Cheetos everywhere, right? But in here it's like church mice. I never understood that. All right. And guess what? When the Super Bowl starts, I won't even be watching it. Huh? Super Bowl. Yeah. It's a big event that has awesome commercials. You know, that's all I know about it.
It happens once a year, right?
Yeah. 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 It's news to you too, Stu? All right, cool. You've heard the husbands of Target. Have you seen those videos where all the husbands, where their wives are in Target for hours, get together and create a support group in the parking lot? We may start a Super Bowl's, oblivious party. Yeah, okay, never mind. I'm done. I'm not wasting any more time on that. So we were speaking about purity for the last couple weeks. We've spoken about repentance. I continue to stand on this fact that if there is a church that is not teaching at least on some level about repentance, then you're getting gypped, because the Spirit of the Lord is preparing for another move of God. And we're believing that it's going to be a very solid move in this area, and that churches need to be ready to receive people, right? Jesus said, pray for the harvest. The harvest is ready. It's the workers who are few, right? And so the first part about praying for the harvest is actually, the harvest is ready. We're praying for the workers. And who are the workers? Yeah, very good. I didn't even have to ask twice. Look at that. So you're the worker, right? That means when lost people on the job, lost people in your customers, your friends, your whoever, fill in the blank, right? When they want to know Jesus, they're going to look at you, because really you're the closest depiction that they have of him other than black and white, right? And I don't know how many sinners are actually reading the Bible right now. So you are the Cliff Notes, right? And so when Jesus said, pray for the harvest, but the harvest is ready, pray for the workers. The workers are few. He was like, he was turning over the kingdom to just a few people and wondering, are you gonna finish this thing? Of course he knew the answer to that question, but, right? And that's the question for all of us. So believe me, when I say the Lord is preaching about purity and repentance, it's not because he wants to have a church that stands on purity to the point that when we see a sinner, we're like, you need to clean your life up. Right? You need to be pure. You need it, right? No, we need it. Because we can't hear God's voice clearly if we have things standing in the way between him and us. And the world does not need to see people who have much distance between them and the Father trying to explain who the Father is. Hallelujah. Shout, right? The church, we need to be a people who are so close with no distance between us and the Father that, man, when we talk about Jesus, it actually shows on our faces. Like, this is a topic that gets us excited. This is a topic that means more to us than, any other topic, right? It needs to be natural. It can't be faked. The world can smell fake better than any of us, right? And the only thing that allows us or sort of pushes us to faking our interest in Christ is when we know we have stuff, sin, rebellion, disinterest, right? Standing between us. And then we have to try to drum up something. And man, I hate it. Do you hate that? Do you hate hypocritical talk? Yep. Great. So let's not be hypocrites. Amen? Right. Yay. All right, we want to hear his voice, and who are those will approach the mountain of the Lord, who will see the Lord? It's those with clean hands and a pure heart, right? And Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So believe me, all this drumming, the war drums of repentance and purity are going somewhere. It's going straight to seeing him, to knowing him, right? So we talked about last week, those too lazy to plow will not have food at the harvest. And we spoke of that in reference to the voice of God and seeking God. We talked about how the next verse is in Proverbs 20, after we said, you know, those who are too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. And though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person with understanding will draw it out. I believe there's a connection there. I don't think those were meant to be like separate bulleted items in the Hebrew. You know what I mean? I think it's just one kind of consecutive thought coming out of Solomon where, you know, those too lazy to plow in the right season won't have any food. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, right? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. My food is my Father's voice, right? It's important to our spiritual being. And though good advice lies deep within his heart, the Father's heart, a person with understanding will draw it out. People with no understanding, no interest, no right initiative will not bother to draw out the good advice that lies deep within his heart. We're just like, can I have another car, Jesus? Can you please take away that mean boss of mine? Right? We're not really drawing out communication with him. We're just pouring out our misery upon him. Right? All right. Cool. I can tell you're excited. Chris, 2 weeks ago, jumped off the platform from Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. We'll not spend time here, but I need to go here. That since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, that's everyone in the Bible and everyone you've ever known that were heroes in your life, might have been a grandparent or might have been a parent or a neighbor or someone in your church, right, who were heroes to your, let them be the witnesses to the life of faith that you should, you know, for sure, don't delay. Strip off every weight that slows you down. Strip it off. If it's in the way, if it's more than you know you need, if it's something that's holding you back, just strip it off. Do whatever it takes. Go through deliverance. Go through, you know, a discussion with elders, go through whatever you have to do to just get it up and out and stop pretending that the weight's not there. The weight is what's killing the church. When I say the church, I don't mean River. I mean all of us, the whole capital C church, the weight of trying to hold on to and maintain the things that are not of God, but yet hold them in close proximity to the things that are of God and try to steer a ship that just continuously in competition with itself and pretend like everything's great, brother, I'm fine. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Right? Strip it off. Don't care how ugly it is. Get rid of it. You don't want it. Right? Passions, desires, attitudes, dependencies, get rid of it. Amen. Because we want to see him. We want to see him in all of his beauty because really, when we're in communication with the Father, that's where transformation happens. When you hear his voice and it moves your heart, that's where transformation happens. If you don't have him moving your heart, you're just trying to put together a program, a resolution, a practice, which sounds very much like Pharisees, religion. We don't need more of that. Amen? Okay. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus who initiates and perfect. So he's the starter and the finisher. Thank you, God, right? All right, so I'm going to go into, you know what? I'm going to jump ahead. I'm going to totally screw up the list. And I would like to please go to Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 3. This is really cool. But long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. Therefore, when we're reading our scripture, we can hear God's voice coming right out of the Bible, right? Coming right out. He's speaking to us. Yeah. And, can we say and? Yeah. And means in the Greek, and, that now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. So we have the prophetic voices of the prophets written down for us in scripture, for our benefit, to hear his voice, and we get the benefit of Jesus speaking to us, you know, spoken through our Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. Then, watch this. Did you notice how all the verbs from up until this point have kind of been like past tense? He spoken, promised, right, created, It's all ED. It's all past tense. And then the writer totally switches up and says, the Son, Jesus, radiates, now present tense going forward. He radiates God's own glory. He expresses the character, the very character of God. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. He's cleansed us from his sins, and he sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. And what is he doing there? He is interceding for us, right? So that word sustains, just so you know, that's Pharaoh in the Greek, and that word actually means he upholds, he pushes, he drives, he determines where it's going, and then he makes it happen. It's like Jesus is the one doing the transforming, and I'm pretty much just doing whatever he wants to do. That's what that word means. Now, we just tried to pick a word for, you know, English, and sustains or upholds tends to be what King James or what some of the other translations chose. But it really is like Jesus is in the driver's seat, and he pretty much is determining where the ship is going. So you either go with it happily, or you go kicking and screaming, resisting, and you're probably going to get there one way or another. Right? But I love it because he is the one who radiates God's own glory. So there's a part of you that's like, I just want to know what the glory of God is really like. And I don't mean it's like a minor curiosity. It's mean my life was dark. And if he doesn't like radiate into that thing and give me wisdom and life and healing and something to look forward to and future, I just feel stuck. I feel miserably stuck, right? I need to see his glory. Well, that's the Son. That's Jesus's job. When you open up to him and you're like, Jesus, show me what you're doing. Show me the Father. Communicate with me. He radiates the Father's glory into that broken, useless, hopeless, dead situation. That is who he is. Moving on, he expresses the very character of God. So if you want to know God's heart on a matter, it's not just another Bible study that we need to keep running back to, not just another video, not just another YouTube preacher, although those things are very helpful. They're not Jesus in and of themselves, right? He speaks through those things, but they're not the substitute for him because he's not missing, right? Jesus' face is not on a milk carton. He doesn't need people all the time speaking for him. So all I'm getting at is we need to keep running back to him and close the door and Jesus, I need you to speak to me. Not necessarily, I mean, you can confirm it through all the other things. We need more Bible studies and there will never be an end. But you get what I'm saying. That's not the only thing. We have to hear from him. And he is expressing the very heart, the very character of God to us. And that's what we need, right? As we come in contact with a God who loves us selflessly, it's like, wow, I want to be more like that. When we encounter a God who will speak complete honesty in love to us, we're like, wow, I want to learn how to really be truthful in all things and how to do it in a really loving way. Yeah? So my case I'm building up is really the only character change we'll ever experience is when we encounter it from the source. Yeah, I've been preaching for a lot of years, and very, very, very few people have ever made massive change because they heard my perfect argument. Because only God can do it, right? It's not by the convincing and the how awesome of a communicator and charismatic of a person. It doesn't matter, right? What really matters is the Lord has to move your heart, and he has to show you something. He has to radiate the Father's glory, and he has to show you the very character of God, and then suddenly it's like, angels singing, that's what you've been talking about. That's what I've been hearing about, right? So, amen. We have to run to the one who will Pharaoh, who will sustain, uphold, bring forth, drive, who will lead, who will move us, take us wherever he wants, aka he will transform us. Drive into that, right? You can't make it happen, but you know what? You can't sit on your butt and just say, well, when he's interested, he'll do it. Because it doesn't work that way either. Right? All right, how do you know? Let me see. Let's go to Hebrews 4. No, let's not. Let's go to Hebrews 3. Yeah. Nope, 4. 4, 4, 4, 4. 4, verse 10 through 11. It is, you know. You know, you should try sitting up here one day. You'll get it.
25 years.
All right, cool. I silenced myself in humility. All right, Hebrews 4, 10 to 11, and it's at the top. It says, "For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their own labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best," and even in some translations, King James is one of them, says, "Let us labor to enter into that rest." Right? And so there's this combination of you know, I love wide roads. You like driving on a wide road? Like, you like those really thin ones over the mountains? Okay, good. Me neither. So the wide road, right? And the wide road gives you wide latitude to make your own decisions and to kind of, right, swerve a little bit. You don't have to be perfect. But here's the one, right? So I am done. I don't have to labor. God's going to do this for me. He's going to do it through me. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter. That's my one lane, right? And then the other lane is right here, Hebrews 4, 10 and 11. That's, but I have to labor to enter into that rest. Right? It's so easy for me personally to like pick up my phone and just distract myself with the last text or notification. Those little red circles with numbers in on an iPhone, oh my gosh, those are like, oh, it's another task, I have to get rid of it, right? Like Rachel has a Gmail and I think it's got 20,000 unanswered. It's like, it doesn't even, like the number's so big, it's now it just says 20K. You know, in the notification, and I like drives me nuts. I'm like, I just feel like I have to open that and just click on them, even if they're all just like Bed Bath & Beyond ads or something. I just feel like I have to click on them all just to get rid of them, right? Distraction. But my whole point is this: like, we have to labor to not care about distraction, labor to not care about temptation, labor to not care about the things that are not important, but we dive into those things full time, and then we wake up at the, you know, end of a very long drowsy spell, and what the heck was I doing, and why am I not sensing the heart of the Father in my life, and why am I not really hearing his voice moving my heart? And it's because we weren't investing into that. We weren't laboring to enter into the rest of that he's providing, right? But yet, remember, when we talk about laboring to enter the rest, it's not about checking off the boxes and said, okay, I did 20 minutes of Bible time, and I did 3 minutes of prayer on my knees, and two in the aerobics of, you know, religion, and you know, it doesn't come from that kind of stuff, right? It doesn't. Yeah. Okay, so now I'd love to jump to Hebrews 3, verse 13. Alex, you're awesome. Thank you. Appreciate what you're doing here. Hebrews 3 says, "You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." So who is the each other in this story, in this verse? Just so you know, it's the same answer as before. Us! Right? Well, wait a minute, I don't like it when other people warn me. I get all defensive. I think, who are you? I think, mind your own business. I think, right? That's because some of us, we speak way too much truth, as if there is way too much. We speak only truth but no love. Can I say it that way? Like truth but no love, and we just flatten the other person with fact. We club them, but there's no room for Christ to come in and allow that thing to do his work because we've already done it. Bam, there you go, right? Or the other one, we're not actually speaking truth, we're just namby-pamby because we love that person and we don't like to disappoint them, and so we just kind of don't give them anything really of quality other than the fact that we love them, right? So we're called to this, and where are we going to learn the perfection of speaking truth and love but to go to the one who is the source of speaking truth and love and to hear him do it to us? Yeah? And not to turn him off and say, okay, I was way too direct, Jesus. You know, you don't get to, like, just be Lord or anything like that. Right? I like best friend Jesus, not Lord Jesus. Right? Okay, I'll move on. So we must, while it is still today, warn each other so that none of you will be deceived by sin or hardened against God. Did you realize it was possible to be hardened against God? Yeah? Depending on your church background, you may have been taught that it's not possible because he's going to make sure that never happens. Yes. So I'm warning you. Would you warn me?
Yes.
Great. Don't be hardened against God. Don't be deceived by sin. If we're faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. That's a huge, huge inventory sheet, by the way. Verse 15, remember that what it says, today when you hear his voice, this is the example. You're, you know, as you read the first part, where what does it mean to be deceived by sin? What does it look like to be hardened against God? It's this one right here, verse 15. Today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. Don't come to him and get really good at turning him down. Don't practice saying no. Don't practice. You know what I mean by that? Because it's really, it's a fact that the more you practice something, the better you become. Right? So when he speaks, we have to receive. We have to come almost, this is the way I like to look at it. Before you even hear him speak, you already have to be like, yes, I'm in. Whatever you got, I'm in. I surrender, I'm in. And then he's like, oh good, I got someone I can speak to who's like ready to hear. Or it's like, okay, I know he's going to speak. When he does, he's probably going to push on that way I do this or this. And now I have to have, all right, I'm ready. Say it. Come on. Let me hear it. Right? Who wants to speak to someone that's like that, who's already filtered and predetermined what you're going to say to them and how you're going to say it and what their reaction is going to be before you ever open your mouth? Who likes that? No. Right? And we do that to God sometimes, don't we? Huh? Too often. I know this might be a selfish prayer, but I'm still asking you, God. And he's like, I never said that. Right? I know there are a lot of people hurting out there, and this one request for you, Jesus, is, I mean, it's so small compared to what all the other people are saying. So, and he's like, I never said that. Why are you filtering me? Why have you already closed your heart to me? Why couldn't I be extravagant in your life? Why can I not be wasteful? Like, right? How can I? What? You would call it wasteful. That's what I'm trying to say, right? That the Lord would love you so much that he would provide, or that he would come through in a way that would be exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. And this is not just about wealth, so don't go down that path and think that's all I'm talking about, okay? But he wants to move in a big way in your life, and it's like, why can't we just believe that and be okay with that instead of, like, filtering? Right? To believe that we could in one moment in his presence be free of something that's held us for a lifetime. That's extravagant love, right? And now we could just walk in and see healing, or a healing in your personal health, or in the health of your loved ones, or that you could see, you know, for some of us, we're praying for kids, that you could see God move in your kids' life, right? So today when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And hardening, you know, starts with saying no. But, you know, most of the time we're not always saying no. Most of the time we're saying things like but, because it sounds so much better. What?
We were at a deliverance yesterday, and that was the word.
Okay, the but was the word.
The but was the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's okay.
Quiet.
Yeah, nice. So in Matthew 11:27-30, Jesus is speaking. He says, "My Father has entrusted everything to me." So whatever it is that he's about to say to you, and whatever the outcome of that statement might be, it's up to him, and it's all within his choice, his plan, his act, his timing, his efficiency, degree. It's all up to him. And he's perfectly trustworthy. Can we say Jesus is perfectly trustworthy?
Jesus is perfectly trustworthy.
And everything has been entrusted to him.
Everything.
Right? Everything. All that stuff that you struggle with, all that warfare going on in your heart and in your mind and all the doubt and all the struggle and all the if this is real, then I'm hoping to see it soon. It's all entrusted to him, and he's perfectly trustworthy. Right? And no one truly knows the Son except for the Father. No one truly knows the Father except the Son. And those, man, I hope I'm one of those, to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, right? Oh, show me. Show me, Jesus. I want to be one, right? And then Jesus said, like straight in the same conversation, you know, the Father's going to, or the Son is going to choose who he reveals the Father to. So come to me. It's an invitation. He's like, I have everything entrusted to me, and I can show you right now. I can speak that thing right now into your life that will produce that fruit I'm looking for, break the chains I'm looking for, heal that thing I'm looking for. So come to me, and all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Right? Labor to enter that rest. Right? And you guys remember the little analogy of the two cows that are yoked together? Remember? And there was a big one, and there was a little one, and the big one's doing all the work, and the little one is just laboring to stay in sync with the big one because the big one's teaching the little one. Remember? That's like a characteristic farming term. All right, good. So take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle. Everything that the Father has given me, I'm trustworthy. I'm humble and gentle. I'm not a jerk, right? And you will find rest for your souls. For those of you who are like, man, I'm just so tired of dealing with this. He is your rest. He really is your rest. And if you just buy another book, another Bible study, another video, and hope that that's going to cure the exhaustion, it's not that. I mean, yes, it can lead you to Jesus, but really, at the end of the road, it's him. So do the Bible study, but do him, right? I mean, go direct to the source. You don't need the middleman, right? My yoke is easy to bear. My burden is light. He's completely trustworthy. He who started that process will be faithful to complete it. Sometimes we just have to have an I surrender all moment so that we'll have a no turning back moment. Right? And if you've experienced one of those turning back moments where you felt guilty about it, or maybe it's even been a repetitive cycle of moving forward but then turning back, we have to have that I surrender all moment. Right? John 16:33 says, I told you all of this. Jesus said this. I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured and deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world. Right? Kim said, we still have our lives, we still have junk, right? But what I heard is, and I'm filling in the blank, the Holy Spirit's in my house! Right? And people feel it. Yeah, right? Like, that's like, I still got my junk, but he's here! Right? Now just so you know, and I'll just give you context, I don't know where I'm gonna like really make a point on this, but the things that Jesus said, all this that I've told you, that so you're trusting in me, was, oh, by the way, guys, I'm going to the cross, they're gonna beat me, they're gonna blame me for things I didn't do, they're gonna crucify me for being a heretic, right? So it's kind of bad news, if you will, but Jesus shot it straight with love. And then he said, but all this I told you so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured deeply at peace. And that is who he is, right? Put that in your "That Is Who You Are" song. He's a God who wants you to be unshakable, assured, deeply at peace while the other stuff is happening. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's so much he loves us. That he wants to take us on a God adventure, not take us through a crisis. Right? Amen. Psalm 73:28, we'll just read it because it's on the screen. I don't know how it got there. But it says, as for me, how good is it It is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. I mean, that's the converse of what we're talking about resisting. It's the, as for me, I'm drawing near, I'm snuggling up, I'm like moving a little bit more to get my butt cheek up against him, right? Because how good it is for me when I'm near him, because he's my shelter, and I'm in such communication. All I want to do is tell people about the wonderful stuff he does. It's not fake. It's not presenting something that's not true. It's actually drawing so close it is true, right? And the rest of the world is saying, but, you know, the world is going on around you and you're experiencing difficulty. Yeah, but I took heart because he conquered the world and he's my shelter. And everything that happens from him is just wonderful. It stinks at times, but wow, generally, you know, overall, like it really is. It's wonderful, right? Good. I see people shaking heads. So you obviously have been through situations where God left his fingerprints on a disaster. And you were like, whoa, that disaster could have been a whole lot worse. But the way the shrapnel fell, it was like, it had to be God. Right? Yeah. Ah, man, I have had those stories that I wish I could tell you without being a mess. So painful, but yet there were these moments that as I was walking into it, he was like, hey, pay attention to that and that. Right? Right? And then when the chaos happened and the hurt happened, it was like, but that's what you were showing me in that. And I was able to pull on those two things, and it was like, it was devastating, and yet at the same time, wow, I'm so thankful you put that right there when I needed it, because that was you. And I felt the I love you in the middle of the chaos, right? He overcame the world that was hurtful. And without Jesus being in the situation, it was just, I continue to experience difficulties. How about you? It's just difficulties, or it's difficulties with the wow, but everything he does in that difficulty is wonderful. The people he brought, the things he put in there, the resources, the by chance, the, right? What's the likelihood of that? That kind of stuff. He leaves his fingerprints. He's amazing. I'm almost done because you guys got to put your chicken on, don't you? What's that? You got your wings? Or you put them in the deep cooker or the crock pot? Or what's that? Instant pot. Yeah? Okay. That's right. Put that in your instant pot and smoke it. Sorry. Distract, laugh for a minute while I blow my nose. Okay, every time I need to clean out, I come into God's presence, and voila. All right, back to this point, and I'm not going to spend too much time here, but back to this point that the voice of God prunes us, it brings transformation, and I just betrayed where I'm going. But John 15, verse 3, I don't think I have a slide on it, so we're just going to have to go manual. Do you remember where John is in the Bible? Page, yeah. We're going to John 15. It's one of the yellow highlighted chapters in your Bible, I'm sure of it. John 15, verse 3. Well, no, I'm going to go verse 2. No, I'll read verse 1. I am the vine, and the Father is the gardener. This is Jesus speaking. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so that the tree is left naked with nothing. No. Why does it say he prunes the branches that do produce fruit? So they will produce even more fruit, is what it says. Right? All right, so you're like, so my best day, my favorite branch that produces the most fruit, he might just go, let's cut that. Whoa. Yeah. So then we might ask ourselves, well, why would you let that kind of stuff happen in my life? Well, so that you'll produce even more fruit, right? And this is the big one. How are you going to do it? Verse number 3, you, he's speaking to the disciples, have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by my word. by the words I have spoken to you is more specific to the King James. And if you looked at that term in the Greek, the words I have spoken to you is the rhema words, not necessarily the written words of God, like in the Bible, which is okay. I mean, God speaks us through the Bible. And if you hear another voice that you think is Jesus and it disagrees with the Bible, that wasn't Jesus. So, by the way, the Bible is your baseline, right? So I'm not trying to preach against the Bible. I mean, you need this. This is, without this, you know, you're not getting the transformational message of God into your heart, right? It separates soul from spirit, and it cuts down to the even deepest motives of the heart. So you need this. But Jesus said, I have pruned you for greater fruitfulness because of the words I have spoken to you. So why is it that the church, or at least half the church at large, has said God doesn't speak to his people anymore? It's the enemy who doesn't want to see us further pruned. He doesn't want to see us further experience that process of him in our life. Like it's easier not to believe that God can speak and change than to be accountable for the fact that we aren't changing. Oh, right? It's easier just to say it doesn't happen that much. And really, it should be happening all the time. If we're in relationship, that relationship is dynamic and changing and growing and moving, and right? It's alive.
It's alive inside of us too, because as wonderful as that written book is, mm-hmm. his word is hidden in our heart.
Right.
So if they ever came in, talk about the government, for example, ever decided to come in and take all of our Bibles like they did. Mm-hmm.
Right, she said if we lost our Bibles.
God's word is so ingrained inside of us that it would hit his spirit and through his word. And if his spirit is so ingrained inside of us that we would stand in that God.
Amen.
If we say that faith in school every day, let us hide our word in our heart that we may not sin against him.
Amen.
Now it's in there, even if it's not here, it's in here.
Yep.
We have it and we can live on it and
yep.
we can count on it. Always, always, always. He promised that. He
yep.
promised.
Amen.
Amen. We get to pray that every morning at SNCA with the kids. We place that, yes, that we may hide his word in our hearts.
Yes.
And everything that the word says is we instinctively know. Like, yeah.
Yep. The internet, I'm sorry. Yeah, the internet people are wondering what we're saying as I haven't been faithful to run around with a microphone. No, it's okay. That's okay. Hiding the word in your heart is so important, and recognizing the Spirit of God comes by the training of hearing his voice and recognizing it through the word, right? So that when he speaks to you, even the other day he spoke to me, and he spoke to me a scriptural reference that I had to go look up, and then it was like, oh, he spoke to me, right? Right? So sometimes God even speaks through his word, like it's all the same. I mean, to him, it's communication, right? Okay. I'd like to go back to John 6:63, and I think it's like it's on a two-part split slide, and it's the second verse. So the first one starts Hebrews 4:10. Yeah, there we go. So the second half of the screen, the first half if you want to rerun. But the second half, 6:63 of John, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I, Jesus, have spoken to you are spirit and life. And that's what we're looking for. Lord, I need more of your spirit. I need more of your life. Right? And it comes by his voice, the words that he has spoken to us. On the road to Emmaus, the men said, didn't our hearts burn as he spoke to us? Right? That's the challenge of the day. I got a lot more. I'm not going to go there. But the challenge of the day is to really submit to, look forward to, not fear, not draw back from, be completely bought into the idea that whatever he's going to say to me is going to be good for me, and I'm open to it, even if it meddles with all the stuff that I consider most sacred, all the little habits I like to hold on to, all the little pieces of my identity that I really make me feel good about myself. If he wants to meddle with any of that, oh yes, God, do it. I'm really looking forward to seeing where this one's going to go, right? Prune it down to nothing if you have to, because I'm really looking forward to what the thing you're going to make in this situation, right? And that's the kind of heart that he loves to speak to. Sometimes if you're like, I can't hear his voice, it's like, then change your attitude because he's speaking. And stop trying to control. Amen. So what are we praying for today? Three simple things. Number one, God, transform me. I want and value your voice over everything else. And if you can't say that, then that's what your prayer is. I want to want your voice over everything else. Right? Number two, help me accept your trustworthiness and look forward to experiencing your voice. I repent of trying to control my life. And then number three, I say yes to the things you've told me. And this is for some of you who have actually heard his voice speaking to you and you said no. And you put it on a shelf and you buried it. You're like, let's kind of just leave that there. Moving on. And this is your speed bump. Slow down. Go back to the last thing he said to you and change your no to yes. This is important for some of us. Don't perfect rejecting Jesus. Right? So I say yes to the things you've told me. I will bring my heart into full agreement with yours. And if there's anybody here, I feel like there's almost like a conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing. It's not condemnation. There's a conviction of the Holy Spirit that has moved on a couple of us where we've heard him speak. He gave us something specific and we were like, nope, not for me. And you had your reasons and you were perfectly justified. Of course you were, because you were talking about yourself here. And there's a place where we're supposed to get over ourselves. And so during this prayer time, maybe you might not want to pray anything out loud, and that's fine. Maybe you do. But the point is that it's time to go back to the last thing he told you and say yes. Holy Spirit, I recognize that I sense you put your finger on something this morning. And that last one really got highlighted, that a few of us, how many, I don't know, Lord, have said no to you. Or placed a condition out in front of you and expected you to maneuver our condition. And Lord, I'm coming to you in just a heart of repentance here for collectively us, the body of Christ, who've tried to fit you into a mold that we thought we were comfortable with having you do. And Lord, you're the one who gets to be God here. So Father, we repent for any time that we have rejected the voice of God in our life. And Lord, we don't want to be good at saying no. We want to be good at saying yes. So Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, we just say, I surrender. Yes, I surrender. I'm done saying no to you. Yes to you, Jesus. Yes to whatever you've directed. Yes to the thing you said you want to have. Yes to the way you've asked us to respond. Yes to the direction you'd like us to go. Yes to believing in you once again in places where we lost hope. Lord, we value your voice. We don't want to do anything that would ever devalue. And Holy Spirit, we just come and say, we need more of your voice in our life. I just want my day to be completely caught up with having conversation with you. Lord, no space between us. I want to be close, Jesus. I ask that you do that for each one of us, that you draw us so close. We hear your voice. Lord, that you just sing to our heart in the scripture. You move our heart as you speak to us in prayer and in conversation with you. God, that this life becomes alive, even though the world, we're facing difficulties. But Lord, everything you do is wonderful. God, we turn this moment over to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask that every prayer that is spoken and prayed will come into agreement with your heart today, and that you will set people free. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And who feels led to add to that prayer?